Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is a Design for Living Big Book meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. My name is Mickey, and I am a compulsive overeater and your chairperson today. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. We start this meeting by remembering our common purpose to extend the heart and hand of the OA Fellowship to those who still suffer. Let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences, yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Today, we are delighted to have Pat joining us to share her experience, strength, and hope focused on traditions 11 and 12. I would now like to welcome Pat to the group to share on her experience on Tradition 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Welcome to a Design for Living Big Book meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, Pat.
Thanks, Mickey. What a nice group this is. I've heard of you guys. I've met some of you. I was delighted to be invited, and I consider it a privilege to have the invitation because it allowed me to do a little bit of a deep dive. You know, when you get invited to speak on something, you go looking at it, right? And I talked to my sponsor about it. I talked to some of my sponsees about it. So it was a really, really fun process, and that's thanks to you guys. So I thank you very much for this opportunity. Briefly qualifying, I have been in OA for, wait for it, 12 years. We love the number 12, don't we? Just this April 30th was my 12th anniversary. And I came to OA, as you can see, at a fairly mature age. I was like 57 years old, and I had spent a lifetime roller coaster dieting. Okay. I'm sure this is something that many of you could nod your heads. And this was the idea that everything would be perfect if I could just lose that last 10 pounds or that last 20 pounds, or as I got older, you know, the last blah, blah pounds. So I came at the highest weight I had ever been in my life. I came just loaded with guilt and shame. I came basically with the gift of desperation. I had been depressed. I went to see a counselor about it. It's kind of not my normal place that I had lived most of my life as far as depression. So it was really particularly distressing to me. And she asked, well, what do you like to do? And I said, that's the problem. I don't want to do anything. But of course, I wasn't honest with her because the only thing I wanted to do was be alone in the house and binge eat. And you know, that was it. That was the sum total of what gave me any zest for life at all. And then, of course, it had the lovely boomerang effect of making me feel worse. This is a really bad combination, which is menopause and guilt and shame, because you end up with hot flashes that wake you up in the middle of the night and you stare at the ceiling, hating yourself for what you ate that day. And boy, it's just a miserable mix. So I knew about the 12-step programs from my work. And I told my husband, you know what, I'm just going to go to OA. And he's like, go do what, do something. He just knew I was miserable. So that was face-to-face meeting time. I walked into a meeting, didn't call first, just showed up. And I listened to the meeting and didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I tried to listen. And then at the end, they said I could ask questions. So my question was, what do I do now? And someone at the meeting, who is currently my sponsor, someone at the meeting said, well, there's the four words. And I said, oh man, in my head, I'm going, great. Magic wand time. It's going to all be better. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up thin. This is fantastic. What are the four words? Three meals, no snacks. Okay. Well, for someone who has spent a lifetime dieting, who knows how to do everything up and down and sideways on calories or exchanges or you name it, right? It was incredibly wonderful to hear. I have no doubt at all, higher power had a hand in what I heard, because I said to myself, well, that's not a diet. So I walked out of the room and thought to myself, well, that's what I'll do. And that night, my husband and I are coming back from, I live in the Portland, Oregon area. We were coming back from something we went to in town, and we stopped at our favorite 24-hour local coffee shop. And I had never walked in that coffee shop and had coffee without having something from the bakery counter. But we walked up and I was looking at everything in the case, and it was all very lovely as it is always. And I thought to myself, oh, but it's not a meal. So I had coffee. And I don't know, it's been interesting to me. I've learned so much. I learned that you're supposed to get a sponsor and work the steps. And so I am very attentive to the rules. So I was following the rules, got a sponsor, started working the steps in the workbook, actually using the 12 and 12 workbook. And for me, that was just right. Again, a child of parochial education, just give me quizzes, please. Give me tests, anything like that. So the workbook was perfect. I could write and write, and then my sponsor would listen to what I was writing, and on we'd go. And we kind of marched through the steps. And then I know step four, I thought, oh, what a blast. You get to tell all about yourself, how much fun that will be. Oh God. And then as I got going on step four, pimples broke out on my face, and oh God. So my sponsor finally said, you know what, by 4th of July, you're going to be free. So you're going to give me your fifth step by the 4th of July. So in the US, that's Independence Day. So we actually sat together in the parking lot of the church where our meeting was, and got two chairs, sat in the shade, and that dear person listened to my fourth step, or heard my fifth step rather. So, and she was right. That was a great Independence Day for me. So on it went, and here's the deal. I noticed you guys read the promises at the end of your meeting, and I think that is way cool. As I progressed in my program, and as I was going to meetings, working with my sponsor, working the steps, the most key thing, I was the one, whenever they said, who wants to read the promises? I'd be, I do. Because they started being so meaningful for me, and they started coming true for me. They say you come for the vanity and stay for the sanity. I had no idea what a drama queen I was, what insanity I had going on. But as you work the steps and these things become clearer and clearer, who knew I could have wonderful family relationships, etc. Because I was the locus of a lot of the trouble. So life on this side is fantastic. Life is in the now. What I like is my now. And I can even say that through the pandemic, I can like my now. That is an incredible gift. I used to always live for what I was looking forward to in the future. You know, something was going to be better there. Now it's just great right here where I am. And the gifts, you know, they just keep on giving, right? It goes on and on. But one of them is that I can look around this room, this Zoom room. I can see a few people I know and other people I know I'd like to get to know. And they're from all corners of the world. And I have a travel bug. So once the world really opens up again, there's so many places I want to go to see these new friends. So this is some, you know, our fellowship is, and everything about it is so rich. So that's how my life is now. Okay, so that's the qualify. I don't think that took too long. Now let's get into tradition 11. Okay. So this was really, really, like I said, fun for me to look at. Now, what I want to do is get the temperature of the room a little bit first. And I'm going to do a lot of talking while I do it so that the recording makes sense for people who aren't here today, but listening to the recording. But what I'm going to ask of all of you is I'm going to ask a few questions, but I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I don't want you to see anybody else's answers to these questions. I'm just getting a temperature for where you're at with these particular aspects of tradition 11. Okay. So everybody relax, take a deep breath. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Now, I'd like you to just raise your physical hand if you have ever talked to your doctor, nurse, or therapist about OA. So just raise your physical hand. I realize some folks are on the phone, can't do anything about that, guys. Don't worry about it. But for those of you who are on visually, please raise your hand. All right. So I'm seeing, okay, very good. We're seeing some hands raised. Excellent, excellent. Okay, hands down. Now, keeping your eyes closed, I'd like to have people now raise their physical hand. If you have answered questions when asked, and particularly the question takes a form like this, what's changed with you? So when family members, friends, coworkers, neighbors have asked that question. How many of you have answered that question relative to your OA recovery? So I'd like to see a show of physical hands for that. Very good. Okay. Now, next question. How many of you, lowering those hands, getting ready for the next question, how many of you have offered to attend a meeting with a friend or with someone who was interested in going to an OA meeting? Now, in some cases, especially in the pandemic, this involved perhaps offering to sit next to them at a Zoom meeting, obviously, instead of a face-to-face. So if you would raise your hand if you've done that. Okay, excellent. Last but not least, all right. How many of you give service at a new to OA meeting? Anyone doing that right now? Okay, very good. Okay, excellent. All right, thank you guys. Now you can open your eyes if you choose, or if you were really feeling relaxed, you can stay with the closed eyes if that works for you. All right, so let me give you an idea of the temperature of the room. You guys are super. You have talked to your doctors. Many of you have talked to doctors or therapists or other healthcare providers about OA. I'm telling you, that's fantastic. A number of you have been able to talk with friends, colleagues, family when asked, what's going on with you? What's changed? Which is terrific. I also like that there was a good representation of you who were willing to go to a meeting with a friend or someone who was interested in finding out about OA and sitting with them, which is really, really powerful. All right. Actually, there's one more question I'm going to ask. So I will ask you to close eyes again. So close eyes again, raise your physical hand. If you have developed a way cool new kind of way to carry the message for OA. So any of you who might have done TikToks or you've done Instagram or you do social media advertising or anything like that. Okay, fantastic. All right, thank you guys. I see a number of folks who've done that. So I would say you guys are well along on the step 12, carry the message is a huge part. Remember step 12, that's the culmination of our steps, 10, 11, and 12. But tradition 11 is the guidance for us to do that kind of thing. So we have our marching orders with step 12, but we have guidance in our traditions for how to do this so that we do not hurt OA, but we help the still suffering compulsive overeater. Okay. So one of the things that I think gets dust up about, if you will, is the idea of attraction versus promotion. By the way, I was really delighted to be asked to step on to talk about tradition 11 and 12, because particularly tradition 11 is like super near and dear to my heart, because it's where I come from with a lot of my service work has to do with it. And this particular area does suffer from a little bit of confusion, I think. The idea being that we are anonymous, but OA is not. Okay. So in other words, when it comes to finding out that we exist, that we have meetings, that the meetings take place at such and such a time and da, 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 that OA has this to offer you, that kind of thing, that is carrying the message. The idea of promotion is what we see when we look at the proprietary side of things like weight loss programs and things like that, stuff that OA doesn't do. Okay. I'm sure that many of you realize that it took a number of times to know that OA existed before you were convinced that it was something you should check out. In other words, there's no such thing as selling OA to people. OA is a combination of information and readiness to hear it. Okay. So we are very careful about that in OA, but at the same time, it doesn't mean we have the brakes on as far as sharing information about OA. Okay. One of the things that's interesting is that the traditions that we use in OA, as many of you know, are just what was hammered out in the AA experience, just adapted. And actually, they envy us the other means, the electronic means of communication, because we're like the only 12-step fellowship that's got that one, because it covered the future, so to speak, even when we go with virtual reality. Anyway, but it was hammered out through hard experience. And that was the idea that you have to have someone have it from within. We know recovery is an inside job. It's not about this. It's about this, right? So that's what tradition 11 is reflecting. It's reflecting the fact that this, we need to bring the ideas to folks about what's possible for them. And then they and their higher power take the action necessary to partake, okay? All right, so creating opportunities. One of the ways to evaluate carrying the message within our traditions is to look at this. What is our motivation? So when motivation is information, motivation is making people welcome, motivation is making sure people know we exist, those motivations are perfectly aligned with tradition 11. If motivation is about glory, these days, for instance, social media, if you could rename Instagram or any of those kind of things, you could call it the me brigade, right? It's all about me. And of course, it's all personal information. That's the handle, if you will. That's the goods that the social media companies are wanting. Basically, it's about personal making yourself look like a big deal. I won't use the word I can't pronounce. Making yourself, puffing yourself up kind of thing. So that glory thing, that doesn't work for us in the 12 steps, right? Humility, teachability, being a bozo on the bus with everyone, the ladder of worth where we love one another and support one another through whatever journey we're going through, that's not stuff that really plays out in the real world that much. One of the things to look at is the traditions are our guides for what's different about a 12-step way of life. And I think that this is a really key one, in that in the world of me, 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 we are about us, 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 us. So I think that that's really important in terms of motivation. If you ever want to evaluate whether what you want to do is going to work for carrying the message, so long as the motivation and the line of reasoning is about us, 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 you can be pretty sure that you're in line. All right. So we talked about the context of traditional leaven. What does it empower us to do? Okay. So one of the things that happens is, what about our personal anonymity? By the way, I don't know if this will help anybody else who speaks English, but it helped me a lot. And that is the word anonymity. And it can be a real, oh, don't ask me to spell it, but at any rate, it can be a real tongue twister in the English language. So it's anonymity, like you break it into a first name and a last name. Anyway, but outing ourselves when asked. So some people think we're never supposed to talk about the fact that we belong to OA. Well, no, that's not the case. Any of us can choose to indicate that we are a fellow in OA to another person. For example, something that my inner group is going to be doing next Saturday is we're going to have a literature liquidation sale. We have literature, and because our inner group does not meet in person anymore, we meet on Zoom. There's no way to convey that literature to our meetings the way we used to. So we're going to liquidate it. The price is going to be a big fat zero. Come and get them. We want the books out there in use and in circulation. Okay. In addition, we're going to run some social media ads that say, if you want to check out OA, come and get a book. And you can talk to members and ask your questions. So we're going to utilize that opportunity to invite folks who want to check out OA to come and meet us and see what we're about. And if they can go home with a 12 and 12, yay, that is good. Or some of our pamphlets, please take our pamphlets, please. Anyway, so that is an example where we'll be sitting there in our little chairs in the church parking lot where we're going to do the yard sale. And we are basically outing ourselves, but that's okay. We are choosing to do that in order to provide information to folks who want to see if OA might be of benefit to them. Okay. Another example, pretty early on in my tenure with OA, I met an old friend at a high school football game. And she just basically asked that basic question that a lot of us start to get as we recover. What's going on with you? You've lost weight. What's going on with you? And it was real easy for me to sit there and have a conversation with her. Oh, well, I'm in OA and I've been going to this 12-step program and da, 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 da. She started coming. I wish I could say she stuck with it, but at least she came for a little while, so I know it's there, and her higher power will take care of her from there. The other time that happened to me like that was I run a volunteer reading program, and literally we take the program was in the cafeteria, and our books were kept up on the stage. And so one of my volunteers asked me, what's going on with you? You know, you're very happy, you've lost weight, you're looking great, what's going on? And I was chatting with him as we were getting the books out. So I stood up and I was talking with him, and I said, well, I go to OA, and I realized I'm up on the stage, everybody in my program. So it's like, yep, oh, that's what I'm doing. So usually it's not a curtain call, but as far as outing ourselves, that is perfectly appropriate in that context, okay? Where, just to give you a contrast, I'm not going to take my face and buy a big ad on the side of a bus running down Murray Boulevard here in Beaverton that says, look at me, this is all the weight I've lost, and this is, aren't I just the hottest thing you've ever seen, that kind of stuff, those before and after things. That's not what we do, okay? That's the glory path that we don't go. We don't have our VIPs. We do not have celebrities. We don't take that kind of endorsement, right? So there's the contrast. Okay, so let's talk about things like talking to your doctor, therapist, or your healthcare providers about OA. I can't think of a more appropriate setting because these folks know you and you've gotten to know them. They see things like your blood pressure is getting better. If you were diabetic, they start to see your blood sugars are fantastic. They know that you've lost weight. This is the perfect opportunity to explore what's changed for you and share that with them. One of the things that I would really welcome ideas on is in what we call professional outreach. When you see PIPO, by the way, guys, public information and professional outreach is what those initials stand for. In professional outreach, that one-on-one connection is very critical because let's face it, healthcare is about as personal as it gets. Same with mental health care. And so that is a wonderful mechanism. But how do we make it safe for that practitioner to then refer to OA? One of the ways that can work very well is to offer your own phone number. And, you know, your name and phone number, they know it, but to tell them that it's perfectly acceptable to you to have anyone who's interested call you with questions. So it keeps it very personal and the physician or the provider can know that it's, they know you. So they know that's safe to do. So that's a really, really powerful tool. The creativity aspect of this, some of you may have come across this yourselves in your journey here in OA, but many of our members are getting extremely creative with how they do carry the message within the construct of the 12-step way. So in other words, within step tradition 11, how many of you have seen TikToks, for instance, that I know out of Central Florida, there's a whole bunch of them. They also, the young people have been doing them. Folks have been doing Instagram and that kind of thing, all done within the constraints of how we keep our personal personal. I particularly like the TikToks that I've seen that they have just beautiful landscape backgrounds, if you will, with information and voiceover. And one of the things I thought was really cool is she'll do a series where she's interviewing another member and they talk about their, what I was like, what happened and what I'm like now, again, but without seeing faces, it's just voiceover on some beautiful scenery and that kind of thing. So well within our traditions, okay? All right, so, yeah.
That's 5 minutes.
You are kidding me, Violet. Whoa, okay, quickly now. Here's a couple more examples. I've done this one, and maybe many of you have as well. I've done a panel at a nursing school where several members of OA are up on a panel presenting information to nursing students about our 12-step program. We've talked about basically that, for instance, when someone says what's going on with you, it stays on your own strength, experience, and hope, never this, never the point finger like you should do this, you should do that. Our program is suggestion only. That's one of the most liberating aspects of it. And the fact is, all we have to share is our strength, experience, and hope. Okay, how can I help? All right, let's see here. One of the things that happens the most with tradition 11 is that It creates a safe place for us within OA. No one is going to tell us how to work our program. We are not going to tell anyone else how to work theirs. What we offer is the vast potential of how this could be for you. And then the really cool thing about that is then we get to learn from everyone's different strength, experience, and hope to help us on our journey. So I think you've heard a number of examples of ways that we can do this. And really, Tradition 11 keeps it, I'd call it, keeps it on the up and up. Think about how our values are expressed in our principles. And we know that Tradition 11 then keeps it safe for us and safe for people who want to consider OA, because we're actually walking the walk, not talking the talk. That's where 12 steps have it all over every other approach in the world, in my opinion, is that we're asked to walk the walk and then people get to see it for themselves. So I hope you're walking the walk in a way that's working for you, and I will enjoy, as I continue to learn from everyone, ways that they do that so creatively and with love. Whew, okay. I can't believe that was the 5 minute mark, Violet. All right. So guys, I'm really interested in question and answer because I really like to know where people are coming from with these and what kinds of things either perplex you, interest you, or ways that you've used the opportunities that the tradition offers us to carry the message.
Thank you so much, Pat.
Thank you, Mickey.
For sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us today. We'll now be transitioning into a question and answer segment. I'd like to introduce Rhonda, who will be our moderator for today.
Thank you, Mickey. Hello, I'm Rhonda. I'll be your moderator today. I'm a compulsive eater. Please continue to send me your questions on Tradition 11 into the chat. We will try to get through as many questions as we can in the time given. Our first question today, Pat, if you're ready for it, says, you said, answered questions when asked. The questionnaire goes on to say, I sometimes think that I talk too passionately about the OA program when I have not been asked anything. I worry that I'm turning people off. Do you have any suggestions or experience to give me?
I think that that is a really valid concern. When we come to OA and as we begin to blossom in this wonderful process, it's really very natural to want to share that with the world. Oh my God, I've got, you know, the best thing since, excuse me, sliced bread. Anyway, so that's a real natural feeling. What is really important is to recognize that just as we had to be ready for OA, so does everybody else. So simply answering people's questions about what you've done and how it works is a real truthful place to be. Selling OA, you can't do it. It's just not that kind of program. And it ends up being, as the person noted, a turnoff rather than of interest. So think about just walking your truth and just talking your truth. Being that person, in other words, you know, that really easy assignment to use these principles in all our affairs. Okay, that assignment, that step 12, that is actually what leads to the questions, because people can actually see it in your eyes. You know, I know you've seen the sparkle. I know you've seen the sense of life that starts to come in people's eyes. And that's what other folks start asking about. So you have to trust that process. And I would say on this one, it's always good to check with your sponsor and explain the specific situation and how you handled it and get some feedback there as well. So if you're needing to cool your jets a little bit, your sponsor is a great guide for that to say, help you cool it down and not kind of like not go where you're not supposed to go kind of thing as far as the shoulds. Okay. So it is a learning process and a natural feeling that we have. We want to share this good thing.
Thank you. Another question for you. Can you talk a bit about how Traditions 11, traditions of attraction and anonymity, might apply in our personal relationships?
Oh, yeah. I'm really admiring you guys for doing the study on the traditions, because I think there's so much there. And of course, we focus on the 12 steps, but the 12 traditions have a lot of wisdom for us. So it's kind of the same thing as like the first question in a way. If you think about what has been most effective in relationship with others, it's when you use the words, how can I help, as opposed to you need to da 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 da, right? So the same thing is true with Tradition 11 and carrying the message within that context. It's not the shouldas, it's the how can I help? Listening and then offering that is the way of love. It's the way that our honesty comes out, the way what we really have to offer comes out. And so that context of never, getting on our pedestal and going rah, 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 but rather how can I help, ends up opening more doors than anything else.
Thank you. Another question for you. Has there been any data analysis to determine if the TikTok work is attracting new members? And if they do attract, are the new members staying with the program?
Data is frustratingly difficult. My background is science and public health. And so I love statistics and I love data, but guess what? We're an anonymous program. And so it's difficult to know. But I think one of the things that's critical, we know that we offer the information that OA exists. We offer the welcome, the warm welcome. If you ask people in OA, what kept them coming back? It's the fact that someone actually picked up the phone and called them like the week after they first came to a meeting and said, how's it going? We're so glad you came to the meeting. Do you have questions? Is there anything I can help you with? In other words, we extend ourselves to make that happen again and again and again. You'll hear that from folks who do finally get up the courage to come. That if and when we extend ourselves to make sure that welcome is very warm and very connected, then they keep coming back. So as far as the benefit of these messages, there's an old saying in marketing, and that is tell them you're going to tell them and tell them you told them. So whether it's TikToks, whether it's social media advertising, whether it's a billboard, we had an electronic billboard in our Oregon Intergroup, for instance, in January. We thought that was good timing. Whether it's our yard sale, Craigslist ad, whatever it might be, it's tell them. You're going to tell them and tell them you told them. What the little drips, the little drips, the little drips. The idea is that it will come to them when they are ready. Suddenly it'll be, I think I need to go to LA. Okay. So that's a long answer to the short question. We don't exactly have data. We can ask people how they found us, and that helps us refine where we might focus our messages. But the fact is that I consider us almost like the scatter approach. We don't know where and how they will all hear of it, but our job once they actually walk in the door then is to make sure the welcome is warm enough so they want that connection and come back.
Thank you. Now the question, do you think making a We Care or a phone list available publicly, say with the first name and last initial, and posting it on a website is in accordance with Tradition 11?
I'm going to say in the modern world, I think that's a little too open. And I'm thinking more not in terms of the traditional leaven, but just security. Okay. For example, in my inner group, we have a sponsor list of people who are willing to be sponsors, and you may request the list. So there is a little layer, if you will, of a person has to actually request the list to get the names. We don't put the names on the website. I think that if you were to use a two-tiered approach like that, that would probably be more respectful of the security aspects, but still allow the connection to be made.
Thank you, Pat. Another question. What can we say to others who know that we are in a program about TV shows that parody 12-step programs, specifically OA?
Yeah, there's actually, it's very true that 12-step recovery is way more a cultural awareness issue than it's ever been before. And with that will come things like parody or, shall we say, misunderstandings, et cetera. I think it's, a possibility when asked that you can clarify how it really works or have a come see. One of the most powerful examples I heard back in the face-to-face days for instance, professional outreach was they actually brought an OA meeting to the clinical practice classes for physicians. So they actually got to see a meeting. Now, granted, it's not a quote unquote real meeting because the members are cognizant that it's not the anonymity and such is not the same. But what they're doing is modeling what is a meeting like for they were modeling it for the physicians so that they could actually see what went on. Again, I would think that if it's one of those things where I guess what you'd say is no news is bad news. If people are more aware that we exist, then we have a chance to actually demonstrate who we are by what we do. So it gives us a chance to open the conversation and bring it to come and see what it's like for yourself. This is how it works, et cetera. So I guess no publicity is bad publicity, I guess is how I'm going to say that. So we're not in control of that. I'm going to go on acceptance and I'm going to use it if I can use it.
We do have some more questions here. I'm hoping we have time to go ahead and use them. Okay. Do you have a gut feeling on what to share, especially on social media? Or do you have an opportunity to check in before posting it? Do you have someone that is an accountability on what is going to be posted?
Contrary to what to my interest in PIPO, for instance, is that I'm a social media nobody. I don't have barely any experience with it except where I've learned how to do the advertising and that kind of part of it. I believe what you've just described, the questioner has a really good approach. It never hurts to reality test something with another fellow, with a buddy in recovery, with a sponsor, with your sponsee, with someone to just make sure that the ring of it is both truth and not in glory. Okay. In social media, it's very difficult though, like I said, because almost everything's always tied to who you are as a person. So I know there are closed, for instance, OA groups on Facebook and that kind of thing. Within a closed group, it is as if you're in a meeting. In other words, so you're with all fellows or people who have professed an interest in OA. Okay. They may not all feel that they're members yet. But in the general open world, when you would, if you would post in that world about being an OA member, that's a break in anonymity. because you're setting yourself up as if you were other people, not in 12 steps, don't understand that you don't speak for OA. Okay. We don't have spokespersons. We can't set ourselves up in that role. So that is what makes social media so tricky. Okay. Tough negotiating. It almost can't be anything personal. It has to stay in the realm of the general or in the closed groups.
One last question for you, Pat. The questioner says, I use my email address on the OA calling card, OA, it works. I don't use my phone number. I give the cards to doctors and other professionals. Is that a good idea to use my email?
One of the things we've all gotten better at is using anonymous emails. That is to say, emails that don't identify us by first and last name. Granted, when we all opened all our Gmail accounts and all that stuff back in the day or whatever, service you use for that, most of us did use first name and last name because that was the most reasonable. I've redone mine so that you wouldn't know who the heck I am. So I could use my email. Most of our service positions nowadays are generic emails as well, which works really great also for rotation of service. So those kind of things can work really well. I would not use an email that identified me by first and last name.
Thank you, Pat. It's time now to pause our question and answer period. And I'm going to hand the program back to our chairperson, Mickey. Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda. We will now be moving on to Tradition 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And welcome back, Pat.
Here we go, guys. All right. Okay, thank you. Great questions, by the way, guys. And I'm also going to just a real quick wrap up on. I was just thinking about this with the questions that Rhonda was conveying from you, is that there is some help on OA.org for social media guidelines and things like that. And I think a questioner raised a really great way to do it, which is bounce it off of folks to check it out. So we all do better. This is a we program. We all do better together. Okay, now Tradition 12. This is really good stuff, guys. Tradition 12. It has got layers, okay? Just like that movie where the org says that we have layers like onions. Well, so does Tradition 12. There's a surface layer. Let's talk first about the surface layer of Tradition 12. So this is where we have anonymity. What purpose does it serve in our fellowship? The surface layer is to help make OA safe. Okay, think back to when you first came to OA. You weren't sure, number one, what to expect. You didn't know who these people were, and you had no idea of what reception you would have, okay? So part of the trust-building process to that is the fact that you are told that no one will share what you've shared in the meetings outside the meetings, that anything you say will not be judged, critiqued, evaluated, or commented on, okay? These are all trust-building kinds of things when you're new and you don't know what OA is all about. And the fact that no one out in the community is going to know you came to an OA meeting. Now, for some of us, we might have walked in the door and we could care less about that part. But for others, it's a very important part of feeling a way of building trust. I remember when I first got my newcomer packet and people wrote their phone numbers on it and stuff, and they said, you're welcome to call us with any questions or whatever. I thought to myself, well, like that's going to happen. Okay. And then I went to a noon meeting and they said, and if you want, we go to lunch together after the meeting, if you'd like to go. And I'm thinking, who are these people? They want me to eat in front of them? Are they crazy? So, I was like, yeah, right. Like that's going to happen. So It is a trust building exercise that anonymity provides at first. So we can feel safe, safer, safest as we proceed in OA. This cannot be overstated because this isn't how the real world works. How many people, I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I bet there's a lot of us when we heard, we'll love you till you can love yourself. We're like, yeah, right. Sure. Principles before personalities. Oh yeah, sure. Okay. But these are things that as we participate in OA, they start being real. And all of us, I'm sure, have experienced that one person at our meeting, every time they open their mouth, it's like, and then they say the thing that I need to hear. And we're like, oh my God. So we learn how we learn from each other, how we can give and take that trust. So the trusting aspect of that first layer of anonymity is very, very important. And again, the distinction between us and the real world. All right, so then there's a second layer of anonymity. I don't know if anybody's ever heard this one, but it's one of my favorites, is that we're all bozos on the bus. And it's the ladder of worth aspect of anonymity. The fact that no one is any better and no one is any worse than anyone in OA, okay? Now, again, compare this to the real world, where it all matters what job you have, where you live, what car you drive, what education you have, you name it, right? It's all about measuring, measuring, measuring. Where am I compared to you? And, you know, are you better than me? Am I better than you? It's like a constant kind of thing. Within the safe environment of our 12-step program, within this tradition, we state that, you know why we're here? We're here because every single one of us is a compulsive eater. Every single one of us has issues with food, and we share that in common. And what we work on together is the solution to that problem together. And it establishes the ultimate in common ground, putting us on an even keel together. A lot of times newcomers, I do a newcomer meeting on Saturday nights, and a lot of times they wonder why we introduce ourselves. Hi, I'm Pat, I'm a compulsive overeater. Or hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm a sugar addict. Or hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm an anorexic bulimic, whatever the person's identity within our fellowship is. And the genius of AA, hi, my name is so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. Every time you speak. The reason that is genius is because again and again, we are reinforcing our common bond. The fact that we are all in this together and the fact that we recover together. We talk about this being a we program. This is the layer where the ladder of worth is that if you have a desire, not even success, a desire to stop eating compulsively, you're a member. And no one else gets to tell you whether you're a member or not. You're choosing that identity. And that common bond is, again, unique in the world, where we share it and we own it together. Okay. It's a fairly miraculous kind of thing. Okay. So, the other thing about OA, again, different from the outside world, is that I like to say we learn about each other from the inside out. I may not know your last name. I may not know where you live in town or where you live in the world. I may not know if you have children, if you're married, if you what you do for a living. I won't know any of that, but I will know your heart. How amazing is that? That I get to hear your fears, your worries, your ways that you cope with that. I get to hear how you deal with challenging situations. I get to hear what kinds of things throw you for a loop and then how you bring it back. I get to hear about the inside life that I won't get to hear at any, you know, social gathering or, you know, football game or anything else. That's not where that stuff happens. It happens in our rooms. It happens in our meetings. And it's this has been particularly true for me with Zoom for the last couple of years in the pandemic, where I have felt this closeness to folks who are 6,000 miles away from me. And it blows my mind. I did a cross-country trip, and I got to meet one of my fellows in Louisville, Kentucky, whom I had never met in person before. I never saw her in 3D. I got to get a hug. She got to hug me. We got to have dinner together. It was amazing. But the weird thing is I already felt I knew her, and I do know her. I mean, I've had the experience of working with her and getting to know her. And how amazing and strange is that? And we've all experienced it, and we all know how that feels. And yet, I don't know, to me, it feels like a miracle every single time. All right, so here's another thing in OA. We are the ultimate, all 12-step programs are the ultimate in democracy. And this tradition is what that truly embodies. The upside down pyramid of our structure in OA, our service structure, is a reflection of that. The fact that we are trusted servants for our members at whatever level we're doing service, whether it's in the meeting level, whether it's at the inner group, the region, or world service, right? And the upside down pyramid means that what we care about is the support and service to the members at the top. Okay. And that everybody else is a trusted servant to them. I know in the world, that is a tough concept. The world is hierarchical. You know, there's the generals, there's the presidents, there's the this, there's the that. In OA, it's exactly the opposite. We are trying to do the will of the body. In other words, the group conscience. Think about what the concept of group conscience really represents. This tradition touches on that. It's the fact that we are all able to be equal in this organization. We all have a voice, and that voice is important. And it's what makes us perpetual, shall I say? In other words, that's what gives OA its staying power, is the fact that every voice, every footstep that we leave is important. We follow other footsteps, and we hopefully leave footsteps. That concept is a real powerful one to me, because that's how we do it. I can't do this alone. I absolutely can't do this alone. I don't want to do it alone. But I can't do it alone. We rely on each other. And it's that reliance that is our strength. Wow, we don't get to do it unless we do it on that basis. All right, so how about working with people with dislike? Whoa, that's always a fun one, right? The principles before personalities part of this tradition is, again, the idea that we have come to realize that we learn from everyone. I think some of my most amazing experiences have been when something comes out of the mouth of another member that is exactly the way my brain has done that thought too. And I thought no one in the world thought that way but me. And I thought no one could hold that. Usually they're not pretty thoughts. sometimes they are, but often they're not thoughts that I'm particularly proud of. And to have someone have the guts to share it, and then I hear it, is huge for me. It's a huge big deal that makes a lot of sunlight possible. There's a lot of forward motion when that occurs. And that's what principles before personalities does for us. Something I did actually was just yesterday. Now, where is it? I don't need to read it anyway, but just yesterday in my service, on a service board, I made a proposal for something I wanted us to consider, group conscience, as a board. And it was called, I called it a recovery pause. And basically what I said is, can we set up a ground rule that anyone in our group at any time, for any reason, if they feel the least bit uncomfortable or they just the temperature in the room is concerning them, any reason whatsoever, they can call for a recovery pause. We say the serenity prayer, and then we spend a few seconds thinking about how we can be more open-hearted, listen better, and bring more love into the situation. Then we reconvene and go forward. So the group that I suggested this to is considering it. We're looking at it in the context of how we want to work together in this board. And I felt safe asking for that. And I felt safe in the discussion about that, because that's exactly where I need to practice my principles. In OA, I can practice the principles that I want to take out in the world, because it's safe can be. One of the things I like to think about is, you all, it didn't matter how I did today, you all love me anyway. Thank you. Okay. I knew it wasn't about being judged for how I do. I knew that you had strength, experience, and hope to bring too. One of the things I love about speaking in OA is I already have everything I need inside, because all I have to bring is my own strength, experience, and hope. And then I get to listen to yours as well. So I'm always ready, if you will. And we are all always ready with that, and we all benefit from it. So I don't know how this is going to turn out with my little recovery pause idea yet, but I know I'm safe to do it. So even if the group says, well, we're not going to do that formally, I know I can always ask for the serenity prayer, for instance, when I feel I need it, and I can make that situation safe for me. So that's a pretty cool feeling. Okay. So, oh, here's another one. On this tradition, how many have put their sponsors on a pedestal? I have. I'm sure many of you, especially when you're brand new to OA, think that your sponsor can walk on water. Your sponsor is so cool. Your sponsor's got all the answers. Your sponsor is the neatest thing in the world. Then you start sponsoring, and your sponsees think you walk on water. They think you are the coolest thing. You are the neatest thing. And it's such a great feeling. And guess what? We don't live there. We can't live there. Pedestals are not for us. We need to be always even Steven with everyone in our fellowship. So one of the things that I have discovered, and I'm sure many of you have as well, as a sponsor, is that I learn the most from my sponsees. And anything I'm saying to them, I need to listen for myself. I'm big on homework, you know, particularly when it's the first time through the steps with the sponsee, but really ongoing. It's like, okay, what's our homework from this session today? And I don't give homework, we do homework. So anything my sponsees are doing, I'm doing. So it also means I have to think twice and make sure it's really doable. But of course, what that does is it moves us both along. And that's the whole point. So interestingly, in the real world, there's pedestals, but in a 12-step fellowship, we don't have pedestals. We knock those suckers down and say, you know what? We are even on this. Let's share it together. Okay. All right. And then the other thing that's very true with the tradition 12 and how it works for us is that no one has a corner on recovery. There is no one right way. Again, I'm putting in the chat, I was making sure I probably misspelled things, but I was putting in the chat the website for Oregon Intergroup, where we do a newcomer meeting every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And it's a new to OA meeting. It's an informal meeting where we present some little basics about 12-step fellowship and how it works, and then a lot of time for question and answer. And one of the things that absolutely astounds people who come to this meeting is that we say our program is suggestion only. Take what you like and leave the rest. And think back to the first time you ever heard that, and how amazed you were and also kind of perplexed by that, but how true it has come to be. No one has the one right way. Everyone has the way that they're learning to work it for themselves. And they're willing to share it with you in case there's something about the way it's working for them that may also help you. Okay. That is huge. And it makes such a difference in receptivity when no one is telling you what to do, but offering you something that works for them. It's a game changer. And that is, again, a facet of our fellowship and our traditions. Okay. Let's see. We talk about being on a journey. One of the things that also is a little daunting when someone's new to OA and they hear that the person who does the newcomer meeting with me has been in OA for 26 years, I've been in OA for 12 years, and they're like, is this a life sentence? You know, and we say, well, you know, you don't graduate. Okay. But at the same time, for me, the excitement has been that it's steady progress. Sometimes it's fast progress, and then sometimes it's glacial, but steady progress in learning to be the very best person I can be, really using all my potential. And that is one of the greatest gifts of all that we give each other, which is to let each other blossom and tap into the greatest potential you have. It's the whole point of what we do with 10, 11, and 12. And this tradition allows it to happen safely at the speed it needs to happen for each individual. Everybody gets to be unique while we share a common problem with a common solution. So, one last thing I'll share with you on this cross-country trip. We're coming into some town or other for the evening, and I glance over, and there is one of those electronic billboards that are so bright, you know, and that kind of thing. And as I glance over, it has a gray background and black letters, and it has three words on it. And I look at it, and I couldn't quite believe it. The three words were, "You are enough." I looked at it, and I thought, okay. Well, that's a 12-step message for sure. So they'll have something after that that says, you know, come to AA, or, you know, maybe it even would be OA or something like that. Well, no, it went to a car dealership, or I don't know what, you know. I kept watching to see, will the message come back again? And it was so much fun for me to think that higher power just stuck that on the electronic billboard for me. But that's another aspect of what this tradition talks about. We are each enough. And we are plenty. And then last but not least, since this is tradition 12, guys, I would say that to realize that the traditions don't restrict us, they free us. They take off the false and allow us to walk into the truth. They protect us on our journey, and they keep OA safe, and they keep OA trustworthy. Okay. We can all trudge the road of happy destiny in our own way. And that's what the traditions really give us. That's the gift we get from these. So I hope you've enjoyed your tradition study. And I hope that this has been of interest to you. It was very interesting for me to prepare for it and think about it. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Pat, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us today. We'll move into a brief question and answer segment. Welcome back to our moderator, who will be leading that. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you, Mickey. So I do have some more questions for you, Pat.
You go, Rhonda. Thanks, guys. It really helps fill the question and answer session when you ask them.
So the first question, speaking about anonymity, is it okay to name a fellow on an outreach call if both participants in the actual call know each other?
Oh boy. So we recently had something come up like this in in our fellowship locally here in the Portland area. Basically, what I like to use is if I want to share something that somebody shared at a meeting because it was a really great nugget, I'll say, I heard this at a meeting. I do not say who said it. I do not say what meeting I heard it at or anything else. The content is the thing, not the person, right? So that's a really good thing. The other thing that came up recently that relates to that is we have a fellow, a very beloved fellow. She's been with OA a long time and has done tremendous service, particularly to newcomers, but she's quite beloved. And we've been checking in with her. We're a little concerned about her. And so she gave permission to mention at meetings that she welcomes outreach calls. So all we say is so-and-so said that she'd welcome outreach calls. And that's all you have to say. We don't have to say why. We don't have to say what's going on. We don't have to go into details. If you're interested and you know her, or if you don't know her and you just want to know her, call her. You two can talk.
Thank you, Pat. Another question. Thinking about principles before personalities, sometimes our members are disruptive or rude. How do groups navigate disruptive members? What is your experience?
Well, that's a big challenging one. And then, of course, in person, there's safety issues. And then on Zoom, there's disruption issues. So let's take each one. In a Zoom setting, if a person really is having a difficult time and their self-management is just really going awry, the nice thing about Zoom is breakout rooms. So it's very easy to be compassionate and to go with another member into a breakout room to sort out what needs to happen. So that is both compassionate and confidential, right? In the case of face-to-face meetings, there is resources on OA.org, for instance, for disruptive members. And particularly there's issues between it's actually like a breakout room in person where you just go outside with the person to see if you can talk one-on-one to calm the person down, except in the areas where physical safety is an issue, and then they deal with that as well. We have, for instance, I'm thinking in my meeting, we have a couple of folks who definitely have mental health challenges, but for the most part, it's something where the safer they've started to feel, they've become regulars at certain meetings, the safer they feel, the more they are okay as well. So in other words, the love works in that regard, but it has taken time to build that trust. And then things like having time shares, structure within the meeting that's applied uniformly to all members is a safety valve for everybody. So when someone goes off, they know they've gone off, and you're able to try and deal compassionately with that in a separate venue.
Thank you, Pat. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Here's another one. How do we navigate situations where OA members may approach with a non-OA request, such as donating to a non-OA event or some non-OA activity like work or asking for a reference? Have you ever had that experience?
I'll bet almost all of us have. You know, we're not here because we're all there. It's part of our steps. We come in with insanity and we all got it. Guess what? So we all have different aspects of it is the way I think of it. But again, the most important thing here to me is compassion. So as much as possible, if I can talk privately with folks where concerns are, as opposed to publicly call it out. Now, there are times in a meeting where someone might mention an outside reference or an outside book or something like that. And you might very kindly say, well, we don't use outside resources. But again, I would follow up. There was someone who continually was referencing people by name on their shares and that kind of thing in our meeting. She was a relative newcomer. And I was thinking, well, her sponsor will help her with that. Her sponsor. Well, by about the third or fourth time it was happening, I just picked up the phone and called her separately and said, let's talk about this a little bit. And this is kind of how we do this. And we don't mention, the reason we don't want to say, I love your shares, because someone else may feel if you don't say that about theirs and they didn't like yours. So we don't say it about anybody's share and that kind of thing. So it made perfect sense to her. We were able to get through that. And I didn't have, you know, you didn't have to call them out on the carpet in a public way, if you can possibly help it.
Thank you, Pat. Here's the question. People in OA seem to use anonymity in who their sponsor is or who they are sponsoring. Why is that? Do you have any experience?
That's really interesting, because I understand in different areas, regions, if you will, of OA, it's different. Down in LA, for instance, we're West Coast, right? So we get LAers up in our area. Their sponsor at their first year lights a candle with them. So everybody knows who's the sponsor is sponsoring and who your sponsor is and that kind of thing. In my area, in Oregon, we tend to keep who our sponsor is confidential. Now, within the context of your own sponsoring, for instance, all my sponsees know who my sponsor is because I match them with my sponsor when I travel. So they get a group text. So they have all each other, and with their permission, I do this, by the way, but they get a group text of each other and my sponsor so that, you know, grandfather sponsor, grandmother sponsor idea, so that they know that there's someone they could meet with or talk with when I am gone, physically gone. But this to me is, again, like everything else, it's all about respect. This is tradition 12 is really at its heart, it's about respect. And so you ask how you want to handle it, or you request that it be handled such a way that works for you. Nothing in our program is required. It is suggestion only. So you abide by what works for you.
Thank you for that one. Question here says, can you talk more about Tradition 12 in the context of our personal relationships outside of OA?
One of the things that I found is that unexpectedly in program is that it spilled over into the real world for me. In other words, being authentic in OA, having the trust, another cat that joined OA, having the trust in OA that built and built and built over time, that I'm safe here, that I can trust, that I, you know, what I say won't be used against me and that kind of stuff, was really significant to allow me to have greater trust and be my more authentic self out in the real world. I mentioned that I do a volunteer reading program. And I used to treat my volunteers like they were little chess pieces and they had to be certain places at certain times. And I was all concerned about my logistics and my bureaucracy and my reports and stuff for my little volunteer program. Gradually, as I was working through the steps and you know, working through my program, somehow I got to start treating these folks more as people. And now some of them are my dearest friends. In a way, I learned how to be a friend. Sponsoring and being sponsored and sponsoring taught me about how to be a friend, how to be there for people when I said I would be there, how to go a little extra mile when they needed an extra mile, and how people went an extra mile for me. And that carried over. So I feel like to a greater and greater extent, the gift of our program is we get to be our real selves in all settings. And trust that that will be okay.
Thank you. It's nearly time to end our time today, but I do have one more question, if I could, please. You mentioned that you did homework with your sponsee what if you have five sponsees? How would you handle it? Thank you.
Like I said, it makes you more cognizant of what you're asking of others when you got to do it too. In general, I find that it's doing me a lot of good. One of the most important things about program is keeping it alive. So for me, interacting with my program, such as a journaling assignment or sharing a step 10, or for instance, I report my food to a sponsee and my sponsor every day. Those are just examples of things that I have come to realize help me stay in the game. So yes, you have to be cognizant. You wouldn't ask them to read every single sponsee if you had 5 or 10 of them or whatever to read different chapters, but boy, you could sure ask them to read the same chapter because you could read one. So.
Thank you for that, Pat. It's now 5 minutes to the hour and our question and answer time has come to an end. Thank you so much, everyone, for your questions. And thank you, Pat, for taking the time to answer them with your wisdom and experience today. I will now hand the meeting back to Mickey, our chair.
Thank you so much, Rhonda and Pat. According to our seventh tradition, we are fully self-supporting through our own contributions. As we have now moved to virtual meetings, it is important that we continue to be fully self-supporting. This allows Overeaters Anonymous to continue to carry the message, still suffer. This month, we are suggesting members look up and donate to their local OA intergroup. Think about how much you normally put in the basket, and please transfer this amount weekly or monthly. A reminder that our Design for Living Big Book OA is a daily meeting. We are based out of Melbourne, Australia, 6:30 a.m. start Melbourne, Australia time, Monday through Friday, and 7:30 a.m. start on Saturday and Sunday. Please check our website for more information on the time zones. The website is www.ad4l.info. Our next monthly speaker series will be held on July 10th. On the 12 concepts. We hope to see you there. In closing, I would like to thank all of you for your service and coming here today. By following the 12 steps, attending meetings regularly, and using the OA tools, we are changing our lives. You'll find hope and encouragement in Overeaters Anonymous. To the newcomer, we suggest attending at least 6 different meetings to learn the many ways OA can help you. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember our commitment to honor each other's anonymity. What you hear here, whom you see here, when you leave here, let it stay here. Let us all reach out by phone or email to newcomers, returning members, and each other. Together, we get better. To close the meeting, will Robin please unmute and read the promises? They will be shared on the screen.
Thank you, everyone. The promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Thank you.